questions on assignments 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6. We'll talk about 6. Or the midterm. Can I talk about the last question? I can talk about the last question. In fact, what I'll do, when the time comes to turn on the beast here, more like a raging chihuahua, I actually put the last question into a program, and then I'll run through the trace, which I was supposed to show you about a week ago, and you weren't impolite enough. You're supposed to shout liar, or something like that. Work. Okay, well, I'll go through and do it. But in any case, let me just go through the what this last question is about, which most people missed at least one or two parts of it. Did you have a question on it? Oh, and what did I say? Did I take 2 points off or something? Oh, no, you really were way off. Well, you'll have to argue with the computer. Wait. Anyone who wants to give themselves 5 points, give yourself 5 points. Why not? Easier than arguing. But here's what the computer... All arguments on this question have to be taken to the compiler. Remember, the hierarchy is the compiler, the book, and then me. In any case, are you ready? First statement, class 2, C2 equals new class 2, hi there. Right? The program's execution begins in main with the first executable statement. Anyone argue with that? Huh? Okay. That takes you to the two-string argument constructor of class 2. The first statement in that. Oh, yes, it was. It was. Take my word for it. I wouldn't go on to another statement if it hadn't been executed. Hi. You want to join the fray here? We're going to have leg wrestling in the hallway over the last question. Yeah. In any case, whether or not that statement was executed, the next statement is this S in class 2 string, that construct, that should have a 2 next to it. This with the S means go to the one argument constructor in class 2. So the statement that says super S should have a 3 next to it. That goes up to class 1, to the one-string argument constructor. And the statement, this semicolon, should have a 3 next to it. That's 4, whatever. 4 next to it. This one's got a 3 next to it, so I was taking their word for it. Should have a 4 next to it. That goes up to the no-argument constructor of class 1. That should have a 5. The next statement is back in the class 1, one-string argument system output line S. That should have a 6. The next statement should be in the two-string argument of class 2 system output line T. That should have a 7. Class C1 down in main should have an 8. That goes up to the one-string argument of class 1. That should have a 9 next to it, which is this, which sends the program to the print line class 1, no argument. That should have a 10, followed by system out print line S, which should have an 11, and then the program is done. And if that first line didn't get executed, nothing else would have been executed. I know, that's why you put the number in it that you put. Right? I know. Which also ends up being the number you got off on that. But you can give yourself 5. And here's why. Why can you give yourself 5 points on that one? Because none of this counts anyway. Right? The whole idea of it is to go through and see if we're speaking the same language and then understand any misunderstandings that we have to clear them up.
What does super do?
Super says call the constructor in the super class with whatever arguments. So super S means call the constructor in the class 1 with one string argument. No, you're inside class 2. And it says, call my superclass constructor with one string argument. The reason I put this question on is because the single most difficult thing to understand in a Java program is the flow of control. That's in object-oriented programming in general. What statements are executed when is a challenge. Joel, don't move. Well, move this way, don't move that way. Good job. I like it. Do I have anything else of yours? No. So, I put this question on there to reinforce your understanding and or misunderstandings about that. That's it. If you understand how the program works, and you put the numbers according to your, and you can go through your program and understand where it's going, yeah, who am I to argue with it? But it's really going to be important starting with assignment 6 and actually with assignment 5 because we begin to have the flow of execution in our programs, the flow of control taking place somewhat invisibly. That is, things are starting to happen now where you just have to be aware that they're happening. It's not, there's no statement in your program where you can say, ah, there's the statement where such and so happened. You've got to just know that things start to happen invisibly. Okay? In assignment 5, we already had some invisible behaviors, right? First of all, we had all of the constructors from object, component, container, window, frame being called without us calling them. That's a lot of activity. We have the window being painted and repainted. That is when you make a window and then you cover it up and then you uncover it. You don't think about it, but when you cover up a window and you uncover it, it has to be repainted. Otherwise, you'll end up with a hole in it. You know, when your operating system starts getting flaky late in the day and you start getting windows where you close it and it leaves a hole, things don't get refreshed properly. Well, you've got to be aware of how that's done in Java and have some control over it. Or you will be disappointed in the way your program behaves. What was another invisible thing we had happening in assignment 5? In the demo version of it. There was an important feature in there which is going to turn out to be really important when we do 6, 7, and 8, which, by the way, are all the same assignment. Well, we're reading from the file, but when we read from the file, you explicitly read from the file. But there was another invisible thing happening. When you clicked on the window close gizmo, the program exited, and there was no apparent path between the click on the window and exiting the program. So where did that, and you guys found out something important about this, if you misspelled window closing, which many of you did. The virtual machine, the runtime engine, there's actually a class called runtime, which is busy running when you start up Java. And that runtime engine maintains something called an event table. What's an event? I'm going to go to an event tomorrow. What's an event? Something happened. That's it. An event is something happened. Java is an event-driven, among other things, language. User interactive, user-oriented interface programs where you have GUIs and whatnot respond to events. A mouse click, a button pushed, something checked, etc. All those are events. Almost anything in Java in the interface that changes is an event and can be detected. Okay? If you have an object, which simply means a piece of your program, right? You have a piece of your program and you want that program to respond to events. In our case, we had the MyFrame class. And we wanted to have the little X in the closed box gizmo in the window to respond to a mouse click. Okay? And what we did is we put in a line of code that said add window listener, and then the argument to that was another object. It was an object we created called a new window adapter, whatever that is, and we'll learn about that this week. And that window adapter was listening for the window to close. Okay? So when I say add window listener, new window adapter, what happens is the runtime engine puts a note up. It says, we have a window adapter, and it's listening for a window event. And that window event, that's all one word. That's actually a class. Which extends, guess what? Event. So, the virtual machine keeps the table. It says, the window adapter is listening for a window event. So when a window event happens, let's see if it's the one it was listening for, and if it was the one it's listening for, then do something. And what you do is you call whatever method has been supplied to you. Now, this is really important. You have to provide an interface to the virtual machine that looks exactly right. And exactly right means for window events, there is a series of six different functions that can be called. And those functions, if you want them to be called automatically, and that's the trick to all of this, if you want them to be called automatically, They have to have the right access specifier, the correct return type, exactly the right name. If you put a capital W here, it's not the right name anymore. Exactly the right name, and exactly the right argument. Oh well, stop. Pick up your stuff. I'm tired of carrying anything. All right, this window event E, window event is the data type, E is the variable. This window event E is supplied by the runtime engine, and it sends it on to you. So you have to have this method or function exactly right in terms of the interface to the outside world, the interface being access, data type, name of the function, argument type. And then it gets called for you. What this window adapter is, and we'll go into this in more detail when we do more listeners tomorrow, the window adapter is simply a class that has a whole bunch of dummy methods in it. Window closing, window closed, window iconified, de-iconified, activated, deactivated, whatever. Those are the window functions. So the window adapter is just a class with a bunch of dummies. The other class. In any case, it has a window closing in it already. But it doesn't do anything. It looks just like this with no code in it. So if you put capital W window closing, it doesn't hurt. It just doesn't help. This one's the one that gets called automatically. We're going to be dealing with a lot of different activities, events that users provide. And we're going to have to provide the functions for them so that they can be called automatically. That'll be for the whole rest of the semester, this week and next. The semester, as you may know, is over next week. Next Thursday night is everybody get everything done night, so there's no class. We just meet in the lab that night. And the only people that have to be here, good news for those hard workers among you, who have infinite amount of time on your hands to always be ahead, you don't have to come here. So the semester for you is over next Wednesday. Next Thursday, everything has to be done, period. So that night is a work night, and usually we end up having to bodily remove people at 10 after 9. Yes? I'm going to send you one, email. I have a final, but I don't usually give it. But if you'd like it, it's optional. It's harder than the midterm. Right. What you're doing is you're overriding the function that was provided to you. Window adapter has a function in it, public void window closing, window event E, open, close, curly brace, no code. And what we did is we put in system exit in here, and that overrode the window adapter function. Right. Right. What this says is it says to the runtime engine, it says this window adapter class has within it this function. Please call it automatically for me when you get one of those. See, you could have just said, hi, Mom, in here, and not exited. You can do anything you want in here, but machine doesn't care what code you put in these classes. All it cares about is that the interface is correct so that the system can call it. If you don't provide it, then you'll get an error. And the error you'll get is you have to define this function, or else you have to make the class abstract. So you guys are going to see a lot of messages that say something like, this class has to be declared abstract because you did not provide, and then it'll give you the names of functions you didn't provide. And I'll show you an example of that kind of failure. Okay, but we already did that. You don't care about that. You already know how to do that. What you care about is what you have to do for assignment 6. In assignment 6, you're going to have your window, and you're going to have your text area, your text field, your label, whatever you put in there, and then you are going to add things, like a button. You can put a button in the window. And you can have the button say load on it, for example. Now, before when we ran this program, assignment 5, for those of you who ran it, which you guys actually are really keeping up very well in here, which is good news. That means that the last night won't be quite as chaotic as in past years. But what we're going to do in assignment 6 is when our program starts up, we won't get a file dialog to pick our file. We can wait, for example, and then push the load button, and then have the file dialog happen. Right? And then if you're not satisfied with that file, you can push load again and have it go to a different file. Right? So you can do it over and over and over again. Isn't that exciting? You don't have to do that, however. You can basically do anything you want with your interface that you know how. So, what assignment 6 says specifically is it says have components interact with one another in such a way that when you do something to one component, it affects another one. So if I push the load button, I get a file dialog, I get a list of files, I pick a file, the text displays in here. If this was, instead of a text area, something called a list, I could then double-click an item in the list. That is, when you load stuff from your file, it shows up in the list. It's exactly the same as the text area, only if you say add or add item to make things show up in the list. Double-click on that, I could have it show up in the text field, and then I could edit it, for example. And then I could push the Enter key and have what's in the text field go back down to the list. That would be a kind of interaction. I could make something called a choice. And that choice, which looks like, I don't have room on my window, I will resize my window. One of these things with some word or other in here. And if I hold the button down on the little triangle, it gives me a pop-up list. And then I can scroll up and down that pop-up list. I can stop on something, make a selection, and have it go. So I could use that for doing things like choose a color and have the background color be the color that I picked in this list. I could have it pick a font, and then I could have the label font change based on what I picked and so on. Lots of different things you can do in this. What I ask you to do is make it relate somehow to your previous assignment. So let's say you have car and you have make and model. You could have the make and models appear here. You could click on something, have it show up in here, change the text here, and then have it go back into your object with the new choice. The reason I showed these particular items, the list and the choice and the button and the text field, is because they all generate what's called an action event. So that's the first thing we're going to learn how. how to program purposefully. Remember what the ad window listener, I just said, do it like this and hope for the best, and then you're either happy or disappointed. Action events we're going to do ourselves, and there will be no disappointment. Except, you know, the cosmic kind of disappointment that you get from. Yeah.
Are we going to learn how to save and write to the file that you open?
If you want, I already told you where to find out. Imagine if you wanted to write to a file. How would you do it?
Can you do it through the text field?
You can take what's in the text field and write it to a file. How would you do it? How would you get the text from the text field? Get text, thank you. If I wanted to open a file for writing, just take a wild guess how I would do it. Buffered writer, new file writer, br.write. Yeah. What were you going to get?
Buffered writer,
new file writer. Yeah. It's easy to guess. This language is easy to guess. A lot easier than Rumpelstiltskin. Okay. So, what we're going to do is we're going to add some objects to the event table that respond to action events. In order to respond to action events, you have to provide the following function in your program. Okay, it is public, void, action performed, that's a little a, capital T for action performed, action event E. If you have that function inside any class that you want to listen for a button, the runtime engine knows how to call it. If I wanted to add my frame, let's say I'm in the my frame class, and I want to have it listen to the button, public class my frame, button B equals new button, and the button class has a constructor with a string argument which puts a label in the button automatically. You can also set the label of a button. How? Set label, thank you. You can also get the label from a button. Okay, then somewhere in my code, in my constructor, for example, you know, we have all the other blah, 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 blah. This is just going to be in addition to that. I can have code that says B dot add action listener this. What's this mean? This is the object you're in. So if I have defined a MyFrame class and I refer to this, it means the MyFrame class object that I'm in. I'm listening to the button. That's what that says. Yeah. Yes, I don't have to, but the program will work better if I add the button. Yes. Thank you. Yeah, the blah, blah, blah I was referring to was the code we wrote where we're going to add the button, we add the text field, we add any of the components we want. But in general, if you look at the pattern here, add window listener, add action listener. It's add The name of the event, listener. The argument is the kind of event. Action event, action listener. Those two go together. Now, fortunately, the action event only requires one method to be defined, and that's it. And you don't have to do anything in it, you just have to put the code there. And very important step, up at the top, we have to say, implement new keyword, action listener. Now my frame is an action listener, yay. Okay, that word implement, action listener, that's one word, action listener, no spaces. Better?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all one word. It's like, the jar is like German words, right? An Alpenlauter Hauptness and so on. Alpenlauter Hauptness. Yeah, it's been so long since I had one, I can't even say it anymore. Any of you guys here had an Alpenlauter Hauptness?
Yeah, multiple buttons you define in an array.
If you want, you can put them in an array. You can have them all independent. It's your choice. Oh, yeah. We got to do that, too. Otherwise, you won't be able to see it. Okay. So let me... That's long, and wait till we get to assignment 7 where we do action listener, item listener, and then listener. Many. I'll explain this right now. In Java, we only have single inheritance, which means you can only extend one class. Unlike C++, you can inherit from multiple classes. You can only extend from one class. So they came up with a programming mechanism called an interface. An interface is like a class, but it generally is full of abstract methods. What is an abstract method? For the handout. What? Yes, say it. Doesn't have any statements, and it doesn't have any curly braces, even more important. If you looked into the action listener interface, you would see that. Action performed, it's defined the interface to it. See, the access, the data types, and so on. This is the interface to the method, but a semicolon at the end. That means the method doesn't exist, it's abstract. You have to provide it. So what happens when you say you implement action listener, what you're saying is I'm going to implement any abstract methods in that interface. You make a deal with the compiler. If you don't provide that method, it won't compile. And the reason for that is that the operating system, the runtime engine, is absolutely relying on that method to be there in exactly that form, or your program crashes. So, at minimum, I have now implemented that method. Right? That's how I turned this into an action listener. I don't do anything about the action yet, but I've at least provided the code so the operating system can call it without crashing. If I'm listening to something else? Whatever class, whatever object is listening, it can be another window, it can be another button, it can be a this, or that, or the other thing. whatever object it is, you put the code in there. It's either the name of the variable, or it can be new class type, like we did new window adapter. We actually defined a class in the window listener. So, this button, absolutely anything can listen to the button. Whatever class you put in here has to implement action listener. We'll see. We'll do a lot of experiments where we have this window listens to that window, and you push this button, that window turns red. What have you? We'll start off with this because it's easy to follow, easier to follow. Okay, now what I want to do is in my action perform method, which is going to be called automatically, I want to know if the action event that happened was the button. Because I could actually be listening to many, many different things here, not just one. See, in this case, there's just one thing I'm listening to, it's going to be the button. But you might as well see while it's simple. If E, that's the event, dot get source, that's a capital S, little g, if E dot get source, meaning the object that generated the event, double equal sign logically equal to the button B, do something about it. Now you can see what we can do with assignment 5 is we can take assignment 5 and modify it so that when you push the button, you call that code new MyIO and make a file dialog. It's easy. There they are. I just left them out. Yeah. In fact, what I'm going to do at demo time here after our break is instead of putting this code in here, see, I might have this code in here for something, but it's not going to be for the MyIO. Where am I going to put the MyIO? See, I don't want to open the IO from inside my frame. Why? Because then I intermingle those two classes and I want to keep them independent of one another. I'll actually go put it into my assignment 6 startup class. I'll make a frame, I'll make a MyIO object whenever the button in the frame gets pushed. So how am I going to do that? I'm going to have my A6 startup class listening to the frames button. So you'll see that you can keep, get these things farther and farther apart and they'll still listen to each other. I mean, the whole idea behind this is that user interfaces, you can't predict what the person's going to do, so you have to be ready for anything. Yeah?
My question is it possible for you to use the equals method rather than the double equals method?
No, because getSource actually returns the address of an object. GetSource is a method inside the action event class that returns the object that generated the event. So, if I push the button, GetSource is going to give me back B, the button object. It actually gives back an address so that I can compare it. And that's what his question was, could I use the dot equals method? Well, maybe we can try it. Well, that is the name of the button, B. Right? I could say if E dot get source dot get label dot equals load, but then I have to go through here and typecast this to a button. But I could say, you know, button B inside here equals E dot get source, and then I could do B dot get label. So there are ways to get the label out of the object. This gives you back the object, so you can get everything about it. You can get its color, its size, and so on. All of its getter methods are now available, even if you don't know it's B. You just have to know what type it is. What a lot of stuff just to push a button. But really, it's not very much code, as you can see. Right. Well, they can all, everybody in town can listen to the button. Anybody that knows about the frame, exactly. Every, what happens is every class that's listening to the button will have its event serviced, and all of their action perform methods get called. So you can have a whole row of windows, and you can push a button over here and have them change the color of the rainbow. What order it happens in, I'm not sure. I think it happens in the order that they get added to the list. Okay. Does this make sense? It will. If it doesn't, it will. This is, right now it's in my frame, but we can put an action perform method into any class that wants to be an action listener. So I'll make my assignment 6 startup class be an action listener. I'll have the frame be an action listener.
So is the action perform method defined in the action listener class?
Yes. It's defined in, as far as the interface to it, which is the top line here. But no code. So it ends with a semicolon, which makes it abstract.
So when you have the action listener, you can use the action perform and they're going to go together?
Right. They have to go together. If you don't put them together, the compiler won't compile your program. When it sees this, it looks for that. This is going to be on the first line. Well, if you don't put this and you have this, it just thinks it's a function. It just goes, oh, look, there's the action perform function. Cool. But it doesn't do anything in terms of coordinating with the virtual machine. This sets up the connection. This, this, that. Yeah. Because they're interfaces. So all it says if I implement action listener comma window listener is it says, okay, go look for action performed and then go look for window closed, blah, 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 blah. Right, you just put comma, next listener, next listener, next listener, next listener. And that's assignment 7 is you're going to put 3 more listeners besides this one and the window, 3 different things to listen.
If you want,
all volunteer class.
Yeah. The action was simply provides the conduit to the runtime engine and all the things you have.
Right.
If you're obligated to provide the action performed event, action event team, testing for one particular event.
This can test for many, many, many events.
But there has to be at least one instance, right?
No. I don't have to do anything in here. All I have to have is this method.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, yes, by the public board, yes, perform.
Right.
Action event, meeting event.
Right.
Do nothing.
Right.
And that would be acceptable, but without that, the action listener, the pilot says, why are you listening?
Right, it says this has got to be abstract. It literally says my frame has to be declared abstract because it doesn't implement that method. We'll look at that area.
It comes along with action listener, which is declared abstract somewhere that we don't see. So kind of like drawing, if you take that abstracted object or method and don't do something with it, you're obligated to pass it along, the same as you would have accepted.
No, I'm sort of nodding, but I don't believe you. This interface has that method declared in it, but not defined. Defined is when you include
right. The
open and closing bridge.
But as soon as you say implement action listener,
you are required, you have made a contract with the compiler to implement that function. That's why the word implement. Implement means I am going to implement that class.
But could you make the public class my frame, extend frame, implement action listener, abstract?
Well, you could say public abstract class my frame, and then, yeah, then someone else has to declare it.
So in doing that, you could tie a bunch of these things together for your own purpose.
Right.
Not handle them, but say, here, I've given you all of these now.
Now you write it.
You write it.
Yeah.
And you can't collect them. And
but if you hand it in to me that way, I won't write it.
No.
I know.
No.
Okay, so you see what his point is? I can put the word abstract here, and what that says is it says I can implement this because I don't make the contract, but then someone else down the line gets the code. They have to then actually write all of the code for any listeners that are implemented.
And
right, you can say throw it, or you can say try it, catch it. Right. Right. Yeah, but the reason I don't have you do that is because the window listener, you have to write 6 functions and get them all exactly right. Window adapter, they're already written for you. But yeah, by the end of next week, you guys will be listening to everything and anything, and you'll just be. No. Well, you can. There are component listeners and whatnot, where let's say what you can listen for is if the button changed size, or if it changed color. So you can listen for that. You can listen for, did the label change? Did the color change? And treat that as if it was a button press, but those won't be action events. Those will be component change events and so on, all different kind of events. The event class is a busy hierarchy. There are a lot, and in fact, if you go to javasun.com tutorial, they have a really nice table of all of the events and all of the methods and if they have adapters written, which have the methods written for you, and so on. Yeah. Correct. That's the only one. That's why we start with doing the action event, because it's very easy. We just do easy things in here, because it's beginning Java. If it did, then you would have to write them all. But it doesn't. It only has one. Window listener, you have to write them all. Most of them will be stubs, meaning it's just open and closed brace, but anything that you want to put your own code in and say, do this, like if a window is iconified, meaning you click on the minimize bar, then you can do things about that. When when that happens. When it's de-iconified and opens up, you can go and adjust everything to fit or change its color or whatever. Well, we'll just start with this one. This one's easy.
That's that. Jeff Thorne, which is telling you which particular offset, which got pulse, full, throttle, whatever, is only one of those that fits, is under excellence. There's only one accident that can occur, which is somebody missing, something happened.
Right. Right. Now, if whatever you did sets off a cascade of action events, then they'll get handled. If you're listening to more than one thing, it'll just get called over and over and over until it's gone through the list.
Right.
And the operating system's keeping a list. It's keeping a list of who's listening to what. It knows what methods to call because they're all written in exactly the same way. Right? So all it needs to have is a list of who's listening to what. Then when an event happens, it just goes down the table. It says, oh, look, they're listening, they're listening, they're listening, they're listening. Call theirs, call theirs, call theirs, call theirs. So we can even do that. Put up two buttons and have or two windows and have them both listen to one button, or put up two buttons and have them both listen, and so on. Back and forth. Mix and match these things. Once you've tried it, you'll go, oh, that's easy. And maybe some of you will even go, that's easy and that's also fun, etc. What I will do is I will show you, first of all, the basics of how to do this, and secondly, a couple of student examples of where they're going with this. Remember, assignment 6, 7, and 8, you're all really working on the same assignment. So if I show you a couple of assignment 8s from the past, that should give you some idea of what you can do in the next couple of weeks if you choose. Or you can just run for it, take your grade and go. If you've done assignment 5, you'll pass. Yeah?
If you have an accident listener, and you move a new list,
I mean, L.addActionListener this, and then this would be listening to the list. Or I could have A6 startup class listen to my frame list and my frame button. And if something happens with the button, it does one thing. If something happens in the list, it does something else.
What happens in the list?
Double click on the list on a list item generates an action event. In a text field, pushing the enter key generates an action event. If the text field has what is called the focus means that the cursor is in there winking. If you push the enter key, it generates an action event. You can listen for it. Okay, so I can show you a couple or three different things that generate action events. Aw, oh, come on, it's easy. We'll just try it. Hearing about it, now you've heard about it, now we'll see the movie. But first you guys take a break while I get the movie started. Okay. I see we're running a little late tonight. I will show you a couple of quick demos. We will revisit these as the semester goes along. And then we will throw a quick button into assignment 5. Okay. The first one, for those ambitious among you, this is an idea of what someone did. The program itself, while it looks complicated, actually isn't that complicated. That is, in terms of the depth of knowledge you need, it's not a lot of knowledge. it was a fair amount of work for the fellow, but he wrote it really quickly. So here's the button that I was just talking about, load data. So I just pushed a button that said load data. I open the data file, and then it goes through, and you can see as it's loading the data, he's setting some labels. You already know how to put a label in a window. That's all that's going on here. What the guy did was he went out to the CIA database. There's a World Factbook online, and they provide all of the data for all of the countries in the world, and they provide it as a zip file. So he went out and downloaded it and turned it into a bunch of text files, and that's all it is. It's just a bunch of text files. It's just a repetition of what we did for assignment 5. However, here he's got a list, so I can pick something in a list. He doesn't have his list connected, but I can push the button that says read what's on the list, and then it goes out and it puts up, these are, you know, a bunch of text fields, a couple of buttons, here's a thing that describes the flag, and so on. Map of the country opens in its own separate window. Okay? So he got a good grade on this. This is assignment 8. Okay, another assignment 8, which is not as complicated, but still a cool assignment. This is a write your own postcard home in Japanese. Okay? So, here we have, we can pick, you guys can test the grammar here. We can pick the English from a list. Yeah? Choose an English sentence. Do you feel like going to the beach? You can look at it in the formal or informal. That gives you a couple of choices. And then if you like what you see, then you can add it to your postcard over here, right? So it's not complicated. It's not a complicated program or a large program, but it does something useful with the tools that we're learning. What I'm hoping you will do, all of you, over the next couple of weeks is get a vision in your mind of what you can do, and then see if you can do it. It's really surprising how little code it takes to do something if you have a clear idea in mind. So kind of sketch out what you would like to have. For example, if you have cars, you can click a button on a car. I'll show you how to put a picture of a car up. It's easy to do. Both pictures of the flags and all that is totally simple. To put a picture of a flag up in a window, or a map, or a picture of a car, or a picture of anything, it's very easy to do. Sound is easy to do. Yeah. Yeah, I could. In a second, I'll redisplay it. Okay, so this is the same kind of thing. You put something up in a sentence. You add it to the postcard, and so la-di-da-di-da. Okay, this is just a window with a text area in it. So I'm doing exactly the same thing here that we did where we read the text and put it in the text area, only here I do it when I push a button rather than reading it directly from a file. Okay? That's another thing you can do. Okay. Let me go back, reopen very quickly this one here. This is pretty good. Someone else did the same thing, and I'll have to go find her a coach. She did the same thing as this, only with rocks and minerals, where you can pick rocks and minerals, and it brings up a picture of the rock and the data about it. And so on. And the trick here was he went out and found a big database. The actual interface is pretty straightforward. It's just text fields and buttons. I just drew those on the board over here. I'll do a real quick demo of text fields and buttons and listening to them. And we'll be doing this for the next 3 days, so. But I'll be giving you more and more time to program here. I was just reminded tonight that I promised you guys more and more time to program. And that means you have to have a goal, right? You have to have a task in mind. So I select that. There's the flag for America, Samoa. There's the map. Pongo Pongo is the capital, and so on. If you didn't know that. There's a description of the flag, there's a background of the country. Settled in 1000 BC, they kept records. So, see that's an image up there, a button, a button, a button. It's just repetition of the same. He just went and spent some time organizing the interface, but then it's all repetition, and of course that's what computers are good for, right? Is you identify the job, and then you have the computer do the repetition. Okay. So, let's go ahead and write our own. We'll write a simple little program here. New class. My frame, and then I'll have this. Okay, action listener. Now, the listeners. Import java.awt.event.star. And if you type event, here are all of the listeners and event classes. There's quite a few of them. Okay. If I try to compile this program, I get an error. It says my frame, my new frame, should be declared abstract. It does not define method action performed with an action event argument. Okay? It tells me that. It tells you that. When you go to write these classes and you implement a listener, if you don't get all of the methods, it will tell you the methods you're missing. Unfortunately, it tells you one by one. It quits compiling as soon as it finds one. So if there are six, you go over and over and over until you get them all, or you memorize them. So this says, public void action performed. Action event E. Now my program compiled. You did that for the button. Okay. B dot set bounds. Well, I don't know where its bounds are. Let's see, that window is 300 wide. I don't really remember. We'll just put it down there at the bottom somewhere. We'll put it 20 over. And start with 200 down. We'll make it, maybe I'll put it 50 over, 200 down, make it 200 wide and 40 high, and let's see what happens. Add B. Didn't make the window high enough to see the button, so I'll make it a little bit higher. Where did that window come from? From the MyFrame class. Right. Set size, I'll make it 300, 400, and I'll put this down 300. There's our button. See the button, and I click on the button, and what does the button do?
Nothing.
What do I have to do if I want the button to do something? I have to respond to its action. Okay. If E dot get source equals B, that ground color is out. So we just see if it happened or not. Is it going to work? Why not? Yeah, B dot add action listener this. Run the program, there's our window, we click the button, the background turns red, yay. We hand it in and say we've done assignment 6, right? Time will tell. Try it and see. Okay. Now, the other thing I can do is I can go over to my class A6. This is my little startup class that I wrote. I can say it implements action listener. I have to use the event library of classes. And I have to add the event. Public void action perform action event C. Now I can say something like, oops, I've got to take this and move it outside. Why? I want to have the scope of my frame be the whole class because I'm going to be using it inside my action performed method. Okay? I can say if e.getSource equals mf.b. MF dot set background color dot white. Now we'll see, we'll have them fight over the window. Okay? The other thing I have to do is what? MF dot B dot add action listener this. Okay, now I have this class listening for the button in that class and then doing something to the window in the other class. Uh-oh. MF.setback. Oh, I didn't import. Java.awt.star to get the color class. Okay. have the window will have to look fast. Oh, look faster. Okay, let's try and slow it down a little bit. We'll say, if mf.getBackground equals color.ret, we may have these out of order. It's turning it white, not red. Yes, it is. I was hoping that it would be red long enough for us to see it. But it wasn't. We may have to turn the color of something else.
Yeah, turn the color of something else, and then when you hit
mode, it's going to happen. No. It'll never be white. Remember what I told you guys?
It's not white.
Right. It starts off not white. Right. What we have to do is we have to actually say set background because what they start the window off with is a color other than white. What I'm hoping you guys will do is something a little more. Well, good programming practice says I do, but actually it'll compile without them because there's only one statement. But I guess I should practice what I preach. Nope, it's still too fast to see, so we'll have to. What we can do is we can set the background, we can say mf dot ta dot and we won't have an if. And we'll make it something clever like blue. TA is not public. Oh no. In this case, because we don't really want it to be, we don't even need a getter for it. We'll go up A5, my frame. The other one was just too fast. Even on my pathetic machine, it was too fast. But in any case, you can talk between objects, you can talk in the same object, you can have action performed all over town. And what you basically want to be able to do in your assignment six to begin with is something like mf.b add action listener this. And then what we'll say is if it was the button myio, myio equals new myio. Now I push the button and it says, go ahead and go find the file, and then we go back and do all the rest of the stuff from that we did in assignment five. Okay, and then more. I would really encourage you all to do a little bit of reading, a little bit of research on this, and to especially plan out what you would like to achieve between now and the end of assignment eight to make this both fun and challenging to you. Right? I mean, it's easy to push a button and have the background color change and so on, but you really want it to interact with. So in my case, I'm doing person and student, load up a student, maybe get the student's picture up there with their name under the label, that kind of thing. Yes, sir. They're identical. Here it is in the startup class, and the only difference listening to the button is I have to go to the frame and then to the button. See, it's mf.b add action listener. And if I go over to the MyFrame class, it is simply b add action listener. Now, what I could have done, let me take this out and go over here. I could have said that. Which says, have the button in my frame listen to my frame, because my frame is an action listener too. But really, the code is identical. Action performed is the same, exactly the same, in terms of the interface. The only difference is what I have it do. Here I'm just changing the color, and in this case what I'm doing is I'm saying go ahead and open the file dialog to open a file. Otherwise, it's the same. It does both. That's why I had the one turn red and the other turn blue, so you could see it did both, because when it was going red to blue, it did it so fast we couldn't see it. So I said, okay, have the one of them turn it red and the other one turn it blue. Every class you have that listens to that button will respond to it. Mm-hmm. Now see, once again, what I did was I just extended my old code and added a few new things into it. Or you could just have imported your old code and changed it in your old code. Does that make sense? But the real challenge in all of this is not writing the code. I'll go through lots and lots of code examples. The real challenge is thinking of what you want to do that, so that your assignment 8 has a purpose besides getting out of here alive. Yes?
In order to get the MyIO off of the reload button, I mean, you don't really need those last two sentences under public void action performed.
I don't need any of this to get the load thing to work. I don't need anything, because I'm in my new frame, and what I'm doing is I'm opening the I.O. based on the button push over in my startup class. See, this is the startup class. See? see, then I could put the code here, while MIO dot string input not equal to null, MF dot CA dot append. Oh, here, let me have it. Push the button. Ah, bummer, my button doesn't work anymore. Why? I broke it somehow. What did I do? MF.b.add action listener, my friend. What? Remember what I was doing? I was fiddling around, and I changed it so the frame was listening to the button, not me. Sorry about that. Huh? Yeah, MF.b. I'm listening to it in the startup class. Now I have to go find my text file, student list, open, and there's my students in my window. So now I just did assignment 6. I pushed the button, went and found my file, read it into the list, and so on. So that's the kind of thing you're aiming at. So now I've got 5, 6, 3, 4, 2, all put together. But we want to do more than this. We don't want to just do it. But you see how easy that was? Once you know how. Did almost nothing to the assignment 5 except add a button. This startup class is almost exactly the same as the startup class in A5, only what I did was I put the part where I put the text from the file, I moved that down into the action performance and said only do that if I push the button. If I wanted to clear my text field each time, I can just say mf.ta.setText, you know, a null string, not a null string, an empty string, and it will clear it out. So I can load it over and over. And we'll go into how to do things like set a base directory and whatnot. I'll move this over here. Oops, where was it? A5. So it cleared it out and then reset it. Otherwise, it would get longer and longer and longer and longer and longer. In fact, I think I can just... There's the bytecode for this assignment. I just read it out as text. Okay, so, that was long, huh? That's my JBuilder project. Okay, so it's easy, very easy. There's a little tiny thing to do. But there's bigger things that you can do with it. Just having the tools, and you've got to combine them with your imagination to do a job.